Praise Yahweh. Please take your seats. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We have a wonderful session for you this morning. We pray that Yahweh gives us all, He blesses us with peace and with much understanding. A couple of weeks ago, I sat in my position there in the sanctuary. And the greatest teacher in the world, the only true teacher for mankind at this time, he said the phrase, cursed children. Or you can say, cursed children, if that's the way you choose to say it. And he was reading from 2 Kefer 2, 14. Cursed children. And he began to explain to us what causes cursed children. And he showed us how mankind's lustful ways, mankind's lustful relationships, taught to him by the Vatican, and you know who teaches there, they're breeding cursed children. Great House of Yahweh, do we want to breed cursed children in Father's great house? Absolutely not. He says the system is responsible for breeding the cursed children. One of the ways the system does that is per Miss Taylor. I will spell her name. Her name is spelled S-U-N-S-A-R-A, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, Taylor. She was speaking and they asked her a question and she said, I want to make it clear, fundamentally clear, that the fetus is not a part of the woman. We want to tell her that Great Father Yahweh created the fetus to be a part of the woman, but she says, so when we kill it, or when we get rid of it, we should not make the women or girls feel guilty. And we want to tell her she's all wrong. Yahweh is the creator, and now in today's world, we have a cycle to change the cursed children that are now in this world. May I have clip number one, please? This is one of the causes of cursed children that the Vatican, excuse me, the world, the system is now breeding. Clip number two. It is a result of the wicked, evil teachings that they are teaching the young people in the world that are causing those things. Do we want to be a part, Great House of Yahweh, of this? No. Clip number three, please. Pay attention that the children do not just refer to mankind, it's also the children of the animals. The next clip, please. And also the plants. And also our microorganisms, the children. So we have a cycle now in the Great House of Yahweh, a system of teaching that's going to get rid of all the cursed children. Is that what we want? Absolutely. And to change this vicious cycle of the wicked, evil teachings, we will now present our Yahweh's young teachers to help us break that wicked, vicious cycle. And now our first speaker, Great Deaconess Alma. Praise Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. Well, we heard y'all missed us, and we missed you too, so we came back. I can even hear the crickets. They're excited too. Just joking, you guys. Y'all can laugh. Everybody's like sleeping in here. Okay, so today, what I will be talking about is whether they will listen or whether they will not, and what our job is still to do. Now, we all know what the most important thing is in these last days, correct? What is it? It's the work. What is it? What is it?
The work.
The work. Okay, thank you. And Saiyan is trying anything she can to stop it. She wants to shut it down, twist the words of the people, and even try to plant these seeds of doubt to cause us to leave the house of Yahweh or to fill us with fear from these threats to make us leave. But are we going to allow her or any of her opponents, like the Pope, the government officials, or any of these scoffers to scare us off?
No.
No, we're not. Remember what Pastor told us? He said we have to set our minds in advance to stand strong and not fall for any of this deception. He said it's going to come in all forms, from all directions, and in so many ways, so set your mind in advance. That way, if it does come, we'll be prepared, and it'll make it easier to stand up against it. Because fear is a natural thing, but we have to be able to control it and not allow it to control us. So they give us threats, and they tell us that they'll lock us away in prison. Should we stop preaching this message?
No.
No. Look at the great Kanye Didia. Has he stopped?
No.
No, he hasn't. And he's doing his job well, too, and he's going to be greatly blessed for it. He's bringing life, peace, and answers to the people that were locked away and left to die. And it might be hard at times, you know, and it might be stressful, but he isn't letting that stop him. And that should be a great inspiration for all of us. So, how about if they threaten to kill us? Should we stop then?
No.
No, that's right, and I know we won't. Because the cowards are practically gone, the ones that were scared, right? So now, we've had many threats out for the house of Yahweh to kill us all. But that didn't scare us off and make us stop teaching this message. It's only made us stronger, don't you agree?
Yes.
Yes. And you know who your inspiration is for that one? Pastor, that's correct. Remember what he said? He said he wouldn't beg for his life. He would just say, Yahweh, your will be done. I'll see you in heaven. And he's had numerous threats for his life, but he isn't letting that stop him. He said even if he only had one person in the sanctuary or nobody at all, he'd still come here every week and preach and do what Yahweh told him to do. Does everyone remember that?
Yes.
Yes. And you know why? Because Yahweh will fight your battles. Pastor's been telling us that Yahweh will fight our battles. All we have to do is stand in our place and do what Yahweh wants us to do. And show Yahweh that we want nothing more than to be a part of his family forever and a part of this great kingdom. Right?
Right.
Right. So, are you ready for another surprise?
Yes.
Okay, great. May I have the clip, please?
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. I see you're all looking great this morning. I can't hear you. A little bit louder. Ah, there you go. I feel very joyous too. Thanks for asking. I'm so thankful to be here this morning, and I wanted to leave you with this message. Remember, the work is the most important thing in these last days. Satan will try anything and everything to put fear in you and hate to make you leave the house of Yahweh. So set your mind in advance not to fall into this trap. Don't let their threats steer you off either. Yahweh will fight your battles for you. Remember, stand in your place. Keep your appointment with Yahweh. And show Yahweh you want his kingdom more than anything else. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I love you.
Praise Yahweh. So now we have our greeting from our overseer. And with that, I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, great teachers of peace. You may all be seated. One day, you'll be the one sent by the one sent. Just because I'm standing here talking to you today doesn't make me any better than anyone else. We are all humans, and we are all trying to overcome and become perfect like Yahweh. Did you know that you teach by your example? You teach by the word you speak to your children just simply sitting here in service today and taking notes. You are teaching that you are willing to learn. You are peaceful, righteous examples. Praise Yah for you. Even if we are teachers, we will still be learning throughout all eternity, so we're still students. We must study to learn as much as we can, because you never know when you'll be the one sent. Last week we saw in the Peaceful Solution videos where the young boy was teaching and everyone stood up and showed great respect for him. Positive Law number 209 says, show honor and respect for Yahweh's appointed teachers, Leviticus 19:32. Here in the house of Yahweh, we should show even more respect for Yahweh's teachers, because we know the Peaceful Solution, and we are all training to be teachers of peace. As teachers of the next generation, we must show respect to all people. We first change our thoughts, then our words, and our actions will change. You please turn over to 2 Timothy 2:24. It reads, a servant of Yahweh must not strive, rather be gentle to all, capable of teaching, patient. But first being a student, we can't be a teacher. We are all students and we are all teachers. Remember, others are watching what we do and what choices we make. We teach by our example, and words only play a small part. But how we behave and act gives it all. And I have some tips for being the teachers of the future. Number one is be prepared. Know your material and be prepared. Study, study, study. Study the Book of Yahweh, the Book of Yisrael, the Prophetic Word, the newsletters, and the Peaceful Solution. And number two is smile. Create a pleasant learning environment and smile. Greet students as they enter class. Make them feel welcome. Hope you all remember to smile. And number three, be creative. Use your creativity, visual aids, and color. Always come prepared. You're the alternate for speech class. Come prepared. And number four is tell a story. People remember the personal examples that you share. Sharing experiences helps to create unity. And my story for you is that I come from a long line of teachers. My great aunt was a teacher for 50 years. Back then, that was really, really long time ago, where if you were a lady and you were a teacher, you could not get married, which I kind of find that a little strange. But I'm very glad to be a teacher here in Yahweh's house. And number five is trust Yahweh. He will set you up to succeed. We are all teachers of the next generation. Let's continue to strive to set a positive example for others. Great results come from your positive ripple effect. Together, we can achieve great things. You all please stand and smile. And I'll introduce the next teacher.
Welcome everyone, you may be seated. Are you all excited to see us again? Praise Yahweh. Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about it takes a village to raise a child. And I'm sure you will all have heard that. May I have my first picture? Yes, it takes a village to raise a child. You may have heard this quote. And in a video last week, this young woman named Maria Garza said that it takes a village to raise a child. And that over the years, our society has stopped becoming that village, and that we need to become that village again. What she said spoke to me, and so that's why I decided to speak on that today. Today, we look out into the world that we live in, our states, cities, and towns, and what is our village teaching? They teach theft, drug use, disrespect, violence. Our village is teaching sin. And no child can spiritually survive in that village. The meaning of it takes a village to raise a child is simply that it's more than one person that teaches a child. In a child's life, they will encounter many different people, experiences, and circumstances, and oftentimes will be taught a blurry line of what is right and what is wrong. Someone was telling me that they saw on CNN the other day about a person that was talking about how it takes a village to raise a child and how children, the mindset of the world right now is that that's your child, you'll deal with them. If they're doing drugs, that's your problem, that's not my problem. If I see them going and stealing something, oh well, that's not my problem. Until they come steal it from me, then it's my problem. But that's not how it should be. If you see a child going down the wrong path or stealing something or breaking out his laws, you should help to correct that child. Tell that person's authority, help correct that child, stop it right there. Because it is everyone's problem. It should be. All of us should help raise the children in the house of Yahweh. Does everyone agree? Let's praise Yahweh. May I have my second picture? So there are two villages right now, two teachers, Satan's and Yahweh's. And we see the consequences from Satan's, what will be coming, the nuclear war, what sin brings. There are many different teachings in her village that raises a child on a path of violence and hate. Their teachers encourage them to partake in risk-taking behaviors, and they do, and this is the consequence. But in Yahweh's village, it's much, much different, as you can see. If everyone could turn over to Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Every one of us in the house of Yahweh has a part in raising Yahweh's children. We can help these children by setting a righteous example and making sure that everything you say and do is according to Yahweh's laws. We have the best village on earth right now. Yes. The best village. There has not been a blessing like this since Great Mother Hannah's time. You all remember Great Mother Hannah with Samuel? And how she allowed him to be raised by the priest and by Yahweh's village. And how he turned out a great priest of Yahweh. Does everyone want their children to turn out like Samuel? Yes. She was a very humble woman, and she knew she needed help raising her son. Because of her humility, her son Samuel heard Yahweh's call and was able to be used by Yahweh. Everyone here should be humble and let their children be raised by the priest of Yahweh and agree with everything that the priest and our pastor tells and corrects us and show that example to our children and continue to reinforce that in our children so they can turn out like Samuel. I've heard some people say that they have had difficulties with teaching small children and that it's the parents' fault or they don't teach them properly. But it's truly not a style of teaching. It's if you go with everything that the Peaceful Solution pastor and the priest of Yahweh teaches, then your child and your teaching and the students that you're teaching will turn out exactly like Samuel. Because we teach our children and everyone working together to help raise our children in Yahweh's way, all of those things that we see in the world, the nuclear war, the sin, it won't be that. It will be what we see on the second side of that picture in Yahweh's village, the nice, beautiful flowers, and Yahweh's kingdom, which we all long for. So let's all encourage our children and encourage ourselves to be that righteous teachers like Samuel and to go with what the priest and pastor says all of the time and to watch our examples. And with this, I will turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, you may be seated. Today I'm going to talk about how the peaceful solution and the laws of Yahweh have the answers to solve all of the world's problems. The only way the peaceful solution won't work in your life is if you refuse it. And we know that's what Pastor told us, and that's what he's teaching, that how as long as you apply the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, it changes your hearts and your minds. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program starts with you. It starts with one person changing their thoughts, because thoughts leads to feelings, and feelings leads to actions. Each and every person who has been taught and practiced the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program represents the light to the world. We represent hope. We are proof that Yahweh's laws teach peace. Now I have a few questions for you, and I want you to just think about it. When was the last time you had a physical fight with someone? Most of us can't even remember that far back. Some of us have never been in a physical fight with someone. Teens, when was the last time you stole something from your parents, your teachers, your neighbor, or your friends? We don't steal because we were taught the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Children, when was the last time you took something out of the refrigerator and ate it without permission? Children of Yahweh, ask permission first out of respect for their parents. We see that Yahweh's laws and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program combined proves that Yahweh's plan for mankind is perfect. The Peaceful Solution and the laws of Yahweh have the answers to stop all of the world's problems. Every time you attend a Peaceful Solution class, every time you pick up a Peaceful Solution book and read it, and every time you make a right choice, you are changing the world, starting with yourselves. Self-control, respect, responsibility, acceptance, and honesty are the fundamental teachings of the Peaceful Solution. When these character traits are implemented, the result is peace, a peaceful you and a peaceful me. When we are peaceful, we recognize that we are valuable and we are a positive influence to those around us. A peaceful family is one where care and concern is shown to all members of the family. A peaceful country is one that spends money on improving the quality for life instead of spending billions of dollars on building high-tech bullying. A peaceful world is where all cultures are respected and diversity is accepted. First Kippah 2:9 says, "We are a chosen generation that will bring peace as we learn Yahweh's laws and the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program." So you see that peace starts with us. Peace starts with us changing our thoughts, because thoughts leads to feelings and feelings leads to actions. Together we are proof that peace is possible. Are you ready to be teachers of peace? Yes, praise Yahweh. And at this time, if you'll please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I'm going to pick up talking on the subject of the profanest taught by the Catholic Church is bringing oppression to all nations. And please remember that all nations are involved in this curse that's brought on the whole world because of what's been taught from changing Yahweh's laws and altering that original way. Now, part of this oppression was shown last week during the missionary report. And if I could please have picture number one. I'll let you look at that for a minute. You can see when they went to Argentina and they went to visit the cathedrals, and the people were kissing those tombs, and you can see they put their full trust in the gods. They're given a false hope, they're taught wrong, and they have no hope because they're not called by Yahweh. And you can see there that, can the gods help them? No. They're under this, the oppression here is having to live in the curse. The cursed children, the diseases, the defilement of the earth. Now, why is this oppression on all nations at this time? The main goal of the Catholic Church is to do what? To turn the world into that like Sodom and Gomorrah, correct? They want to take everyone away from the original way of life and make sure that everyone believes that this is the right way to go. Because Satan, like the first speaker said, is trying to stop the work of Yahweh. And the way, there's always a two kingdoms shown, like Pastor has told us, correct? Satan's kingdom and Yahweh's kingdom. Or as one of the speakers said, Satan's village, Yahweh's village. And it's Satan always teaches against what Father Yahweh does, right? Can you see Satan at this time? No. Can you see Yahweh himself at this time? Well, we can surely see the two representatives, correct? Now, if you'll all turn over to Revelations 18, verse 3, can I please have the picture? The scripture. Okay, Revelations 18, verse 3. Now, please listen carefully to the first part. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Get that, all nations now. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the abundance of the earth have grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And also keep that grown rich in mind, because that really is not rich monetary, because you can see that missionary report, those people, they're living in poverty at this time, and the Pope doesn't really have sense enough to help them, the very country that he was born in, because he's so focused on trying to get the world turned to Sodom. But grown rich in sin, correct? And the abominations and the cursed children. Now, remember that for all nations. Now, go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5. Remember, all nations are under this curse, following what they've been taught. And I know 1 Samuel 8 is something we really remember because Overseer always goes back to this because it's a prophecy. 1 Samuel 8, verse 5, saying to him, you are old, this is the people speaking to Samuel, who is trained up righteously. You are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Appoint us a king to judge us just like all the other nations. You see that again? All nations. This is what occurs when you reject Yahweh's laws. They wanted to have a king, and look at what that king is doing today. For all the nations, remember Revelations now, they're under this curse. So we know, I'm going to put this in your mind again, these pictures. We have Satan's representatives and the system, the unjust system, geared towards sodomy. Remember that. But what are we doing? What's the most important thing in our lives? What did Pastor just say? The most important thing is the work. Yahweh's village, the work. Remember that. And like one of the other speakers said, very soon, everyone's a teacher, but be ready because you'll be sent by the one sent one of these days. And every minute that you're not working physically, take the time to study and rehearse and remember everything that we've been taught. And with this, will you all please stand? I turn over to the next speaker.
Here's Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Everyone should be doing great this morning because it's perfect weather. The sun is out. Okay, so I want to open up with Matithia 13:31. And it's about the parable of the mustard seed. So verse 31, it says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of Yahweh is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. So I just want to show you just how small a mustard seed is. Can everyone see it? Okay, this one right here. Can everyone see it? This one. Okay, well, here it is then. So everyone should see that one, right? Everyone saw the picture? Okay, it's big enough, right? But it's actually really, really small. It's very, very small. And it's amazing how this little tiny seed can turn into a tree. Now, this parable is a great comparison of the work and how it's growing. Now, the Kahan spoke last week about the mustard seed. And so you should know it. So who is the sower? Can you answer it? Who is the sower? Who's the seller? Pastor, Yidra Hawkins, right? All right. So a seed can't grow unless it's planted and taken care of, right? And pastor's the sower. So the seeds that are being sown is the laws, the words, and the message. And this message, the seed, is being spread to the whole world, and even in different countries, as you've seen last week, too. Now, let's look at what the message and the teachings are. One is, it is possible to have peace only through the laws of Yahweh. And Yisrael Hawkins is the last day's anointed. Remember in Isaiah and how he was chosen? And he was chosen even before he was born. It was all planned out and from the beginning that Yahweh had planned. And also that sin is what is causing the diseases and the disasters that we see today. And even, you know, remember Pastor even broke it down to us about the microorganism and how the sin is what's destroying the microorganism and they can't do their jobs. And also, Yahweh is our creator. And of course, that's like one of the main thing we know before we come to the house, or when we come to the house, it's the main thing we know. And that the only way to eternal life is through keeping Yahweh's laws. And in Matthew 19:17, it says, "But he said to him, 'Why do you question me about righteousness? There is only one who is the standard of perfection, and that is Yahweh. So if you would enter into life, keep the laws of Yahweh.'" So the only way we can enter into life is to keep the laws of Yahweh. And these are just some of the seeds that's been sown, but there's so much more. Now, Yisrael Hawkins is still sowing seeds, and we all will see how big this little tiny seed can grow. So my closing, Matthew 13:32, it says, "Though it is indeed the least of all seeds, when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air can come and nest in the branches." And if you see G note 5 and verse 32, it says, on the side, it says, "This teaches us not to be astonished at the small beginning of the message." So just like that tiny little mustard seed, it can't become a plant before the seed. So you see, it's going to grow. And I wanted to bring a mustard tree, but it's 20 feet tall. But I realized I have a big mustard tree right in front of me, the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh has grown so much. And we have grown so much, but only through Yahweh, Yahshua, and Yisrael. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You can be seated. Now, I'm going to be talking about Judge Rosie, but I'm hoping to give you a kind of a different view of her more on a personal level. Now, we all know that she's a great judge. We heard it many times, how she not only cares for the people that come into her courtroom, but she also has that compassion for them by using the peace solution in her courtroom as a tool for whatever reason that they came in, but also to help them change that pattern so that they don't end up back in there and that they can become productive in society. And we don't usually see this much. Usually they just want to lock them away and put them away. But it's always a nice thing to see. And not only her, but I'm sure there's others as well that are wanting to help them so that they can get out and become a better person. And now some of them are teaming up with the peace solution. Now, from the very first time we met her, I remember she welcomed us and it felt like we knew her for a while. And we were very comfortable when we met her, and it felt because we had that same common interest. Now, we saw that she was willing to help others and put herself down to serve others. And with just that right there, if we all remember the attitude of servitude, being willing to serve others. And I know I've heard many times in the sermons where to find that true peace, we put ourselves down for others and serve them. Now, because all of us here have that in common, we're able to push the work further in Laredo, here at Able, and also all over the world, because we're all reaching for that same goal. Now, I know you heard some from last week where they're wanting to change the way that they're putting the judge into office. And we see that She still is and has been, still is, standing up for what she believes in, what is right. So can I have clip one, please?
Thank you so much. I feel not the great, but I feel very blessed. So I want to thank you for that. But what transpired today actually was the item to appoint the municipal court judge as opposed to elected has been tabled. So technically, this is something that they can bring up in the future. I felt it was a small victory. At least they were going to at least study this issue. And I hope and I pray that they carefully weigh what they decide to do. Well, as we heard, Councilman Vera, I believe that he still somehow in the future wants to bring this up to the voters. But let me tell you, the voice of the people, if we're united, it truly makes a difference. I don't know which occurred, but I truly believe that all the media, the social media, and getting the word out certainly ignites our citizens and voice their opinions and not being afraid. Perhaps, you know, I can't say, but the power of the people is in their voice is truly important, and it always makes a difference.
Okay, thank you. So we see that we might have thought this was the end of it. She's getting some persecution because it seems as if some of them are wanting to take her out of the position. But as we heard from last week, that all this persecution has just opened more doors. And we've seen this occur many times in the House of Iowa, where they thought they were going to take us down, but instead it just grew bigger and we were more known. And since this interview, the clip that you just saw, the missionary team had the opportunity to meet with some of the council members, and as well of the council member proposing to change the way that the judge was put into office. And we see Yahweh works in ways that sometimes we're not aware of. All of this occurring has just helped it to grow stronger. And in the video they showed last week, we also saw with the two young girls where they were able to speak in front of the council and show how when it was taught at their school, how it helped. And now we saw one of the council members asking them to help teach in one of the programs down there. So we see as all it's done, it's just caused the work to get bigger. So remember that Yahweh is always in control and that no door will be shut unless Yahweh allows it. So in conclusion, let's continue to spread this word, and with everyone here in Yahweh and more people like Judge Rosie, we will succeed. And with this, I'll turn it to the next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. I would like to start with a short clip. Can we have the first clip, please? Okay, so those are a few pictures of the great missionary work that you all are a part of. And I'm going to show you how, but first I would like to ask you a question. Are you truly thankful for the part that you have in the work of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. And the reason that I'm bringing this up again is as the end is getting closer, we are getting a lot of more and more work to do. And the trials are getting harder and harder, and we're going through a lot. We're all carrying a lot on our plates. And sometimes with the stress, the hard work, crying, sleepless nights, fatigue maybe, sometimes we tend to forget to look at the big picture. We forget that Yahweh actually has a big plan, and we forget what a blessing it is to have a part in the great work of Yahweh. And that you are not contributing to the mess that we see out there in the world, as we saw earlier, the cursed children, but that you are contributing to the work that is going to change this mess and turn it all around. And that's one thing that we have to remember to look forward to, because we are the ones that Yahweh actually chose. He picked each one of us specifically to do this work, to fix all of the problems that we see out there in the world. So always be thankful because we have a part in the work that's bringing salvation to this world. Salvation is being offered to the world right now by you. And this is no small thing. The people in this world now have an opportunity to repent, to learn about Yahweh's laws, and change their lives so that they can have a part in Yahweh's family. The Pope is not doing this. The Pope is not offering eternal life and a place in Yahweh's kingdom. All he offers is damnation and death. As we saw from the missionary report last week, when the missionary crew went into the cathedrals and they witnessed the boxes that they had with dead men's bones laying in each box. And that's what the Catholic Church is offering the people. They're offering death, violence, war, pain, hurt. And they make it look pretty and shiny, but we know the truth. We know that it's not. We know what's really there, and we also know that our job, the work that we're doing in these last days together as a team, it's the body. It's not just the group that goes on the missionary bus, it's all of us, no matter what part we have. Even if we live out in different countries, praise Yahweh. And all we can do is pay our tithes to contribute to the work. Whatever you do, you need to be thankful for that work because Yahweh has blessed you to be able to have a part in that. Praise Yahweh. So I would like to encourage you. Yahweh's work is growing. We are going out to the entire world. Yahweh chose you to be a part of his work and encourage one another. We're all together as a team. Not one of us can make it together by ourselves. We all are going in together to the kingdom of Yahweh. So encourage one another. Under the 1 cent, we are going to get this work completed. And that is a blessing that we have that opportunity to be a part of this team that's going to turn around the suffering and the mess that we see in this world today and bring peace, joy, and true love to the whole universe. Praise Yahweh. And with that, if you will all please stand, I have the privilege and honor to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. We have another panel of speakers that I'd like to introduce this morning. Right here, they're getting seated and situated at this time. And let's give a really great for our young speakers. Praise Yahweh. You know, when I first came to the House of Yahweh, I would have never imagined seeing young people 5 and 6 years old standing at the podium. And to me, this is the greatest blessing. But Pastor saw this before we ever even planned this, right? Pastor knew this. He had this vision. Do you remember what he wrote in the Oki 24? So this program, these young people, praise Yahweh. And now our other speakers are getting seated. And I'd like to introduce you to myself for the first speaker today, praise Yahweh. And I'd like to get started right with our first slide. And I would like to quote Matithia. We've got a sower. And that is, our sower is who in these last days? Israel Hawkins. And it says, but that which was sown in the rich ground is he who hears the word and understands. He also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, sisters, being a part of coming to the workshops, training for the classes, and all the things that our overseer has given us in this time period, that's part of how we become that seed that was sown in fertile ground, right? Pastor has given us, the soil is here for us, right? Pastor's given us everything that we need in order to train to become these teachers. But it's up to us as individuals of whether or not we're going to germinate in the ground or not, right? Pastor can't jump in the ground and wrestle with us and make us grow. That is a personal thing between us and our Creator, that we would put forth that effort to want to become a righteous seed that grows, right? So for my second slide, I want to tell you what our job is in this time period. Our job in this time period is to learn, to teach. 2 plus 2 makes forever. to learn, to teach forever. And the house of Yahweh gives us what to teach so that we know exactly. First we come and we learn, and we can't do that if we don't attend the law classes, the workshops, and the things that our pastor has given us in order to become the teachers in this time period. We have to attend these things. I'd like to read Matithiah 25, 1 through 12. And it's the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. And it says, "Then the kingdom of Yahweh may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five were foolish." I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. Those who were foolish skipped the classes, didn't want to learn what to teach. Five of them skipped the classes, did not attend, and did not learn what to teach. While the wise took their classes and filled their minds with knowledge. Okay? So now we've got to decide which one are we. What category would we be placed in this time period? Because it's not too late. The bridegroom is at the very door. But we've got to train. The law class should be filled with women on third night. And the men's law class should be packed with men on the Sabbath, beginning the Sabbath day, right? That's where we learn to teach, right? We learn what to teach from the great teachers that Pastor has appointed in this time period, so then we can go forth and we could do that very teaching. But remember that parable of the sower, because sometimes, you know, through the tests and the trials and the persecutions, we get tired and we quit attending and then our seed sits. But we can't do that. We have to be the kind of seed that is still as perky and energetic and wanting to do what's right and overcoming and attending these classes as the very day that we got our first flyer in the mail from the house of Yahweh. It's that important. It really is that important. Because it says, while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, they went in, but then the doors were shut. The doors were shut. You know, I always foresee in my mind people banging. But it's not really going to be a physical banging like, let me in, let me in. But it's that weeping and gnashing of teeth, because we all have the same opportunity. Remember, no one has any more opportunity than anyone else in the house of Yahweh. Everyone has the same things offered to them, the same teachings from our great overseer, the same laws to apply them in our lives, to be able to be that example and become a great teacher. In my third slide, I'd like to read Matithiah 5:14 through 16 while we look at this, because it says the influence of a great teacher can never be erased. You know, even when people fall away from the house of Yahweh, Israel Hawkins sticks in their mind. Oh, man, they can't get him out of their mind. And so it's so important that we take that influence of our great teacher, Israel Hawkins, and that we never allow that zeal to be erased from us, where we would actually not move forward with that zealous commitment to be a part of this kingdom and be a teacher forever. It's so important. I would that I could just to scream it from the rooftop, because it's so important that we don't let our zeal down. It's that important. In Matithiah 5, verses 14 through 16, it says, you right here, you are the light of the world. Do you realize that? Do we realize that even if we don't know everything, what we do learn, the people in the world have no clue. You are the light of the world. You know, you're just radiating this room right now with knowledge. A city which is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Yes, we reflect out what our teacher teaches us, and it goes like dominoes. We should all be little Israel Hawkins, remember? No beard on this side, remember that. Neither do men light a lamp and hide it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. So we come here and we learn what to teach, and then instead of hiding it, we teach what we've learned. We spread that light out to others so that they can learn as well. And then he says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men and women so that they may see your righteous works and glorify your Father who is in heaven, who taught you, the one who taught you these great laws. Now, in Isaiah 30:20, it talks about how our teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore and that our eyes will see our teachers. You see them today? for our side of the wall. And we see them every week on the other side of the wall. Righteous teachers. 2 Timaeus 4, verses 3 through 5. We have an instruction here, and it says, "Therefore, I charge you before Yahweh and Yahshua Messiah, who will sentence," underline this in your scriptures, "who is to live and who is to die." That's serious business, sisters. "At the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, be ready, take your positions in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Yes, that's our job. And we need to take it seriously, because verse 3 tells us why. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." We've seen that in this time period, where they will actually want teachers that are going to tickle their ears, like the Pope. The Pope, tickle my ears. But sisters, that's why it's so important that we come here and we train and we learn what to teach and we teach what we learn and we don't go out of our place, because we don't want to be with the Pope, do we? Do we want to be with the Pope? Man, we want to be everlasting positions with our great overseer. So the things that we are doing in secret, we should make sure that we would actually put that on that lampstand for everyone to see. Now, I don't want you to feel too sorry for the Pope, because he'll have a throne. For my last slide, please. Okay, now, he has a throne, and anyone who follows him, their throne is established. Their works shall descend unto their throne. They're going down. They're going down. So sisters, get to the classes. Learn what to teach. Teach what we've learned, because the thrones that Yahweh has waiting for us in Revelation, we want to be on those thrones, and we will never, ever, ever go near one of those kind. We're not going down. We're only going up here in the great house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to our next speaker. Praise Yahweh and Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. How is everyone doing this morning? I can't hear you. Say it again. How is everyone doing this morning? Praise Yahweh. Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My topic today is learn the peaceful solution, live the peaceful solution. Now, how do we learn the peaceful solution? The peaceful solution is learned by reading, studying, applying, and practicing the concepts until it becomes the habitual way in which we think, behave, and interact with others. Now, what does the word habitual mean? It means to do something without conscious thought or effort. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program is a simple program based upon universally accepted concepts, such as ownership, asking, responsibility, self-control, and acceptance. We are all knowledgeable of these concepts, and are learning them so that we can someday teach the millions that will be looking to us to help solve their problems. But are we constantly using the peaceful solution to avoid our problems or to solve the problems in our lives? The peaceful solution can solve any problem, can untangle any web, can straighten any path and smooth the bumps in the road of life. Whether it is the life of the individual or the life in our immediate or global society. But the peaceful solution will only work if we strive to make it a part of our lives. Having knowledge of the peaceful solution and fine-tuning our lives to reflect the concepts of the peaceful solution are two different things. As the scripture says in Jacob 1:22, "But be doers of the law and not hearers only." Have you ever fine-tuned a radio? You can tell when you are getting close to the station you want to hear. You have to turn the dial a little at a time. Sometimes you hear static and other stations pop up. But you keep trying until finally that station you want to hear comes in loud and strong. May I get my audio clip, please?
Il y a tout. Immediate boarding gate number 14. 42 moons of war. A set time for 42 moons of war.
Implementing the peaceful solution into our lives is much like fine-tuning a radio. Now, we have to start looking at the small things that may not be obvious at a quick glance. As the first part in Luke 16:10 says, "He who is faithful in which is least is also faithful in much." For example, we know that taking, touching, using, borrowing, or borrowing someone else's possessions without permission is called stealing. But do you know we could steal someone's trust, their joy? For example, a child comes to you to show you, excited to show you about their painting. You take one look at it and say, "That's the ugliest thing I've ever seen." Or, "Did you paint that with the blindfold on?" Careless remarks like that can not only steal the child's immediate joy, but also that child's confidence, which ultimately can affect his or her future. We must always be careful with our remarks. We need to stop and think about how our words affect others. An important aspect of the peaceful solution is learning to be positive and to accentuate what is positive in others and their efforts. Being positive isn't easy. It takes self-control and diligence to always think about how our words can affect others before we say them. When we build each other up with our words and interactions, we are using the peaceful solution. Another example is how we respond to correction. Let's say someone notices we are falling short in some area in our lives, and the person brings it to our attention. How do we respond? Do we argue and try to defend ourselves and then conclude, "Well, she doesn't know what she's talking about"? Or do we say, "Thank you for pointing that out to me," but afterwards grumble and fuss underneath our breath? Or even worse, give that person the cold shoulder as a means of retaliation? Or do we try to find fault with her so that she too can be corrected? After all, if she's going to point out my faults, I'm going to point out hers also. This is called payback. And just for the record, payback is not a part of the peaceful solution. We have to start looking at the small things we think and do on a daily basis. Here's another example. Do we always greet each other when we see them, or do we look at people in their faces thinking, "They should be saying shalom to me"? Ever seen the overseer passing in his vehicle? He's driving, on the phone, and yet he still greets you. I get my picture. If he can multitask and do that, surely we can walk into a room and greet one another. Warmly greeting each other says, "I'm glad we exist in the same place at the same time together." Warmly greeting each other is a part of the peaceful solution. These examples are just a few ways we can start fine-tuning the peaceful solution into our lives. But as I said before, it is not easy to eliminate the negative while practicing a new positive way of thinking, behaving, and interacting with others. But we can do it. As Romans 8:19 says, "For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the revealings of the sons and daughters of Yahweh." We have to set our mind in advance to learn the peaceful solution, so we can live the peaceful solution, so we can teach it, truly teach it to others, whether we go out to teach or whether we stay here and support those who go out to teach. What matters is that we live the peaceful solution every second of the day. Remember, the day is coming when the world will come to us. We will all be teachers because we will be teaching through our example, and we can do it. Yahweh has given us the ability to overcome ourselves, to overcome our carnal minds, to internalize the peaceful solution through diligent, steadfast, and determined practice. We must become unwavering in our pursuit of perfection. The Christians would say, "Well, no one is perfect." But Yeshua tells us to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. We have been given a roadmap to perfection, a guide that not only tells us where to walk, but how to walk.
what we should be thinking while we are walking, and how we should interact with others who walk with us. We are the peaceful solution, and we have an obligation to learn it so we can live it until it becomes automatic to us as the very breath we inhale and exhale without a thought. We are the peaceful solution, so let's learn it so we can live it, so we can teach it in our words and through our every example. Our goal is to hear Yeshua Messiah say, "Well done, righteous servants who practice the peaceful solution." And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, so today I'm going to be talking about future leaders. The future leaders of the House of Yahweh and the future leaders of the world. And I want to start off with a quote from our great overseer in the 7th book of Israel, part 2. It's on page 350, verse 52. He says, "You're standing in line for leadership right now. You can't take it because Satan has got to have it right now. Until her world crumbles, and then we will take control of the world." The overseer is telling us that we are the future leaders of the world. We heard that last week from all the young men in the Kahan speaking. We are the future leaders. We hold the answers to all the world's problems. And the overseer said, as soon as Satan's world crumbles, we will take control. Have you seen the news lately? Because her world is falling fast, as the great head judge said. They're falling very far down, and we are rising above it all to teach the peaceful solution and the laws of Yahweh. Now, in doing that, as being leaders, what does it mean to be a leader? What does it mean to be a leader? Now, we always talk about our children. Our children are our future, and they are. They are our future. So I want to turn to Yael 2, verse 28. It says, "And it will come to pass afterwards, I will pull out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." Now I want to focus on your sons and your daughters will prophesy. How do they prophesy? How do they prophesy? How do we know prophecy? How do we know the prophecy of the white buffalo? How do you know this? Yisrael Hawkins taught it to us. How do you know that there are two witnesses in these last days? Because Yisrael Hawkins taught it to us. How do we know of the prophecy of the nuclear baby and the famines and the disease epidemics? Because Yisrael Hawkins taught it to us. How are our children going to prophesy? They're going to teach. They're going to teach the message of peace. And that's what we all have to do. As Pastor says, you can be 150 years old and you are still a child. So if anyone's 150 years old, don't feel bad, because you can still be a future leader in these last days. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we have to be teachers. And Pastor has told us countless times over the last at least 10 years that I remember that we need teachers. We have to have teachers. Everyone in the House of Yahweh has to be a teacher. We can't just have 10 women and 20 men doing all the teaching of 7 billion people. That's a lot of teaching. And as the great Kahan said last week in services, we're going to have Skype classes offered 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Can you imagine 30 people doing 24 hours classes, 7 days a week? Okay, because if I stay up all night, I'm worthless at work the next day, okay? So if anyone has to work, you know, you're going to want help in teaching, because we're not going to get our jobs done if we're always teaching. We have to balance it out. So we need lots of people to do this. Okay, now I want to get another quote from our overseer. It's from the 7th book of Israel, part 2, Teachers of Righteousness. It's on page 279, verse 155 and 157. The overseer says, verse 7, and he's reading from Yochanan 3, verse 7. It says, little children of the House of Yahweh, let no man deceive you. Don't let the Pope deceive you or anyone who follows the laws of lawlessness that bring forth. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Did you get that word practice? Practice. What does the doctor say when he wants to be a doctor? He has to learn to practice medicine. That's what makes them a doctor. They practice. The way you become righteous is that you practice the laws of Yahweh. He continues on by saying, only those who practice, not those who just profess to love, but those who practice righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. As the speaker before me said, we know the peaceful solution like the back of our hand. We know Yahweh's laws like the back of our hand. We have to live it, and now we have to go a step further, and we have to teach it. Because the world is suffering. Every day people are suffering. At the beginning of services, we've seen pictures of children and animals and our microorganisms that are suffering every day because of the sins of man. When we see this, do we think, oh, yeah, that's probably bad. I hope nuclear war comes soon. Okay, because what we should be thinking is, how can I solve this problem?
okay, the microorganisms are suffering, what can I do to fix it? Because one day we will have control over that. How are you going to teach the microorganisms? How are we going to teach these farmers about how to deal with their animals? How are we going to teach the children that, okay, you're born like this, that they're going to die because life cannot live in a child that's like we've seen in the beginning. They're not born fully equipped to have a normal life. He says, now going on, we have to have a goal in teaching. Okay, because I know a lot of people, when you talk to them, you say, are you going to teach? Like, I'm not getting in front of that congregation. Are you crazy? That's a lot of people. And it's frightening. It can be nerve-wracking, but you have to remember what our overseer told us. Yahweh is going before us. Yahweh will give us the strength. Yahweh will give us what we need to speak. We have to have that goal, and we have to study, and we have to have that purpose in our life. Because Yahweh has given us a purpose. The people in the world, they don't really have a purpose. They go about their day. They go to work. They go home. They go to work. They go home. They go out Friday nights and they party. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a reason to want to be alive. We have that reason. Yahweh has given it to us. We have to take hold of it. Take hold of the choicest branch and take our job and go for it. Run with it. Take a bull by its horn or take the buffalo by his horns and keep running with him as the overseer takes us into the future of Yahweh's kingdom. Okay, now what do we practice? We practice Yahweh's laws and the peaceful solution. Do you agree? Okay, do you practice the peaceful solution? Do you agree? Yes, praise Yahweh. Okay, so I'm going to throw some problems at you, and you tell me if you have the answers. Do we, as the house of Yahweh, have answers to solve school shootings? Yes. Do we have the answer to solve birth defects in our children? Yes. Do we have the answers to stop all wars? Yes, praise Yahweh, we have the answers. Now we have to take hold of that and we have to bring it to the world. Now we need more teachers. We need more teachers. We have to have more teachers. We have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm still stuck on that. That is a lot of teachers. That is a lot of teachings. If I could have my slide, please. Okay, those are just a few of the countries that we teach on a weekly basis. Okay, 2 to 3 times a week. All of those countries are being reached. Okay, praise Yahweh, yes, praise Yahweh, 2 to 3 times a week. We need more teachers because as more countries and as more leaders find out about this, they're going to want this in their country. If any one of you have heard on the news lately about the president of Uganda, he passed laws against women wearing sexually explicit clothes, pornography, sodomy, homosexuality. He passed bills and laws against this, prohibiting it in his country. Okay, so keep him in your prayers because we know that Satan is going to try to take him down. But we have to support him. We have to support, when someone stands up for morals, support them. A lot of people don't like to teach. You don't have to be in front of a podium to teach. You can write letters. You can reach out to people all over the world. Reach out to your teachers. If you used to go to a school and you know that you used to have a bad problem with bullying, I can guarantee you they still have it. Reach out to them. Write letters. Write letters to your congressman, to our president. Reach out to all you can because we have to get this message out. Now, in closing, I want to remind you that we are family. We are family in the house of Yahweh, and we are family of the peaceful solution. People not even in the house of Yahweh, for example, Judge Rosie, is a part of our peaceful solution family because they are taking a hold of our morality, and they're wanting to bring peace to the world. We have to remember, keep them in our prayers and work together as a team because if we're not a team, the world is lost. We have to work together to bring peace to this world, and we are the only hope for this world. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. How awesome is your Sabbath? How awesome is your Sabbath? Praise Yahweh. We've had some really great speakers and more to come. So today, I am here to make an announcement. And I must admit, I'm a little late in making it, but there's that old saying, better late than never, right? I'm here to let you know that Yisrael Hawkins is retired. Yes, he is. May I have my first slide? After 10 years of service, Yisrael Hawkins retired in June of 1977. It may come as a surprise to some of you, but he's retired. And what has he been doing since then, you may ask? You may ask? What's he been doing since then? I'm glad you asked. The work of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh for that. And are we not glad that he retired? I'm very glad. From that time on, he has worked towards building the great house of Yahweh and getting it ready for not only us, but others to come. That has been his whole goal. There's not a moment that goes by that he's not thinking or serving one of us. Now, I want you to really think about that. There's not a moment that goes by, and anyone who deals with him in any area of the work whatsoever, you know that to be true, don't you? Yes. And if you look around, this building didn't build itself. Those prophetic words, they didn't make themselves. The words on that page did not just miraculously show up. He's been doing this work for a very long time, and it's all for us, sisters, all for us. And I spoke last Passover about some of the House of Yahweh history that I was blessed to witness growing up, and I only talked about a few stories. There's a lot more stories, a lot, that I witnessed through the years. But I was speaking with someone this past week and was reminded of how our great teacher has been working for a very long time to make sure that not only us, but our brothers and sisters to come have everything they need available to them at any moment to succeed in being that one sent to come. Praise Yahweh. Can I have slide two, please? In the early 80s, after Pastor had retired, he had started distributing the newsletter, and he would give it to, I'm telling you, he would stand and he would hand it to anybody who would take it. Not only did he write it and print it, but he stood there handing it out. How awesome is that? Some people are going to, one day, I got a newsletter from him. It'll be amazing for them to realize that the witness handed them personally their newsletter for the first time. Praise Yahweh. So he also, at that time, had started making sermons on cassette tapes that he would give out free to all. And some of you might actually still have some of those cassette tapes, those dinosaurs. I know for some of you young ones, you're like, cassette tapes? What? Well, when I was about 11 or 12 or so years old, we lived in what is now called Yahweh Village. Now, we heard about Yahweh's Village earlier, but there actually is a Yahweh Village. And we would spend a lot of time at Pastor's house on the Sabbath and on the weekdays after school. And one afternoon, all of us children were playing outside in the backyard, and he came running out. I'm not joking. He came running out. He said, you got to come in, you got to see this. I want to show you something. Yahweh has blessed this house again. So we all went in, and when we got in there was this machine. Can I get slide three? There was this machine. and it was running, and it had all these cassette tapes on it, and it was making the noise, right? Now, imagine that times like six. It was very loud. And he explained, when one of his children asked what it was, he explained that this machine would make copies of sermons. Now, mind you, up until this point, this man had been making the sermons on his own, one by one, just like the newsletter, copying one by one, to hand out to give us a blessing to us from Yahweh. And those memories that I have, that's one of the memories I have is of him that day. He was almost in tears. His eyes were tearing because this was going to bless the work. Not him, not make him money, not bring him glory, but bring honor to Yahweh so that we could sit here today. And this is his joy. This is his great joy that he has. He would spend hours just making tapes and copies and newsletters until we got our first printing press. These are the things that he spent his time doing. I remember as a child, he would lead us around the table and we would collate newsletters. And he would sing a little song. I can't remember what I could. But he would sing us a little song about how we were bringing the message of the kingdom of Yahweh to the world. And this kingdom has grown greatly. If you look around at one another, you're each part of it, if you choose to be. That day is one of the many memories that has stayed all these years. His excitement and joy for the work. There's great desire and zeal for the work of Yahweh, not to bring glory to himself, to bring glory to Father Yahweh. And because of that, we see that glory and honor and knowledge and wisdom shine forth through him, do we not? Praise God. His whole world has always been about Yahweh and his people. And not much has changed since his retirement, if you have seen. He is still about his Father's work, and he is still proving us and providing us with everything we need to enter into that kingdom. Now it's up to us to be just like that great teacher and to put that much effort and time into learning, as we've been learning today, and then teaching it to others so that one day we can be that one sent. And that our small children today will remember you as that awesome and wonderful teacher. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Hello, you all may be seated. So we all know feast is coming up, and have you been doing your goat shopping? I'm doing quite a few. I got 3 bags of stuff here. And I want to share with you the great gift that I'm sharing with you today. And this great gift is called Unity. And Unity comes in 3 packages. The first one is, if you want this Unity, the first thing is you have to know. You have to know the plan, Yahweh's plan, because Yahweh's plan is only about unity. That's what it's all about, unity. Unity is in Yahweh's plan. And we all know that right away in Genesis, Yahweh speaks of this plan. In Genesis chapter 1:26, Yahweh shows that he's creating this team, where he's going to have teachers who's going to rule based on his laws. But this team, if you notice in Yochanan chapter 1 verses 4, it says this team will give life eternally, because Yahweh say his plan has life. But the greatest example of unity in the scripture is Yeshua and Israel Hawkins. Do all of you remember Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 to 13? For your notes, please read this and go over it, because this is the perfect example of how there's going to be a council of peace between the two of them. That is the only way this work could get done, is Yeshua and Israel Hawkins working together in unity. They are our team leaders. Now, a lot of times when we're called to the house of Yahweh, that's where we are. We are at stage number 1. Okay? We know the plan. We got the first gift. But our second gift, once we get here, is of unity is want. Want. Do you want to be part of the plan? Do you want to be part of the plan? And when I think of the word want, I think of the word hunger. Like what we're going to be in a few minutes. We're hungry, right? Are we hungry after the spiritual food? Are we hungry after this great plan of Father Yahweh? Do we see Yahweh's plan as appealing? Is this something we really want to be part of? And a lot of times we may think, yeah, we have to want. But how can we want? How can we keep it going? How can we keep it going? Because we get stuck here. The first thing is be encouraged by righteous fellowship. Remember our great head judge said, come to the classes. This is what you need to do. Have this fellowship. But not only that, but it goes the other way too. If you are the one that can provide the fellowship, provide the righteous fellowship. Don't provide the gossip. Don't provide the talking back. Disunity. You have to provide the righteous fellowship. And that is found in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 3. But the main thing that can keep you wanting this plan, wanting to be part of this plan, is your own self. You have to have self-motivation. You have to say, I want to see the righteousness and stop the sin. Stop the sin. Stop the suffering. I want that. If you don't want that, then you're not going to want to be part of Yahweh's plan. Because that's his whole purpose. That is his whole purpose. Moving right along, we got to get to this final part of unity. The third part here. And this completes our unity. Is that we have to devote our life to the fulfilling of the plan. Devote. This is where you can prove yourself. Because the time with Yahweh should outweigh everything else. Right? You should be sleeping and waking up to Father Yahweh on your mind. You really should. Sometimes I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh my, I forgot to do that. I remember my supervisor told me about getting those things to, and I'm like, oh Father Yahweh, I know that's going to hold back the work. You should be like that. Really, honestly, you should. Because then the next morning you're ready to serve. You're ready to know what you're going to do next. Your words and your action is and should be Yahweh. Your works, your contribution should be Yahweh. Proverbs 16 verses 3 says that, right? Commit your works to Yahweh. Everything you do. And in Ephesians 2 verses 19 to 22, I would like to read that. It's on page 917. On page 917, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 19 through 22. Well, I'm sorry, that's page 98. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to start with verse 14, okay? Start verse 14 on page 917. It says, now read that heading right there. The whole family named after Yahweh. For this reason, I bow my knees to Yahweh, the Father of our King, Yeshua Messiah, from whom the whole family, us, and also, what does it say? In heaven. And the earth is named the family Yahweh, right? The family named Yahweh. So remember that unity is something that's in this family. It's in this family and it needs to be taught. And you can start teaching it to your children. For this next film, I want you to listen closely to what Pastor Joe Hawkins says and the words of the song, okay? Can you please play my video?
That you go through in this, they can be big or small depending on the job that Yahweh has in store for you in the kingdom, in his habitation, in his house forever. Those positions are, some of them are extreme. And of course, to prove that you are worthy for that job, then Yahweh may put you through more tests.
He will say, like a
teamwork, and we need teamwork at the house of Yahweh. And the reason why we need teamwork. is because that if we don't have teamwork, then we won't be able to keep the work going in the House of Yahweh. Unity in the House of Yahweh needs to be perfect, because in order for you to be perfect, you have to be unity with the House of Yahweh in Yahweh's administration.
Let's be in unity!
Shiloh!
Yes?
What does it mean to be in unity?
To be in unity means to follow instructions, not to come against, to work as one team, to get the work done peacefully. For example, a pastor Israel Hawkins tells us to wear our Gilbert sayers. Then we wear all black, white, and pink. Then we are not being in unity with the House of Yah or Israel Hawkins.
Great job.
Unity is keeping Yahweh's Josh.
When my friends and I are at school, we should keep the classroom rules, because when we keep the classroom rules, we are in unity with the teacher.
Yahweh is the judge, and he allows certain things to strengthen you or to find out what you're worthy of or can do or can't do. Can do or can't do.
All right, so if you all please stand in unity for our next teacher.
Shalom. It was such an honor to have been asked to speak today, and although I would rather be standing inside the sanctuary, I'm actually 1,200 miles away from home, the Great Rock of Abel, but yet I'm still able to do Yahweh's work, and that's kind of what I want to speak to you about today, is pushing forward Yahweh's work no matter where we're at or no matter what situation we're in. And I can remember years ago that if you lived outside of Abel, the big thing that we could do was reach out. And we had these little square flyers, and I really tried to find one, but I guess we did a really great job of passing them out because I couldn't find one anywhere. But we would pass them out everywhere we went. We would long for those big boxes to come in with the flyers in them, and we could go pass them out. But that was the thing that we could do to really help push in our area. But my, how times have changed. We know that, as pastors told us, that the internet was invented in 1934. And, you know, I went and I looked some things up about that because I thought that was so interesting to me. And I found this article on Fox News, right, a very reputable news station. And the name of the article is called "The Internet Was Invented in 1934, Sorta." And it says, in 1934, Paul Outlet realized that the wires and radio waves connecting the world could be used for more than chatter and entertainment, but also to bring the world's knowledge into any home. That was a pretty big thing that took place in 1934, but also was a really big thing that occurred in 1934, as we know that our pastor and overseer was born. So, coincidence there? I know, y'all are saying no. Both events have very significant impact on our world today. In fact, the article over here says that the technology that would eventually become the internet, it dominates our lives today. And I think most of you would agree with that. The internet has really changed the way that we work and the way that we live. We can watch sermons live every week. You know, used to back in the day when we didn't have, the internet wasn't as popular, we had to wait weeks and weeks for sermons to come in. And we were always, you know, very behind and couldn't wait for those weekly sermons to come in. But now we're spoiled. And we get to watch live on the internet every single week, which is a great blessing. So two very significant events took place in 1934. And of course, you know, probably a little biased to say this, but one event they said, you know, is dominating our world. But I would venture to say that the second event is completely changing the way that we change, the way that we live today. He's completely changing the world. And of course, then the internet is just assisting, because we know that this increase in knowledge is for our benefit, because never before has it been easier and cheaper to reach anyone in the whole entire world. So we're to the point to where, you know, those paper flyers have now turned digital. And you no longer are limited to just the area where you live in to be able to help to get this message out and help Pastor to fulfill Matthew 24:14. In Luke 10:2, it talks about the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And how awesome is it that we have an opportunity to be one of those laborers that the scripture is speaking of? We already know that they're few, and we already know that Pastor doesn't get a whole lot of sleep at night because he's trying to make sure that the people of Yahweh are taken care of and that this work is getting done. And in Luke 10:2, it says to pray that the owner of the harvest sends out laborers into his harvest, and that's us. Of course, you know, if we accept that role to be a laborer, right? So laborers are sent out to help, because remember, as Pastor taught us so many years ago, and he used Moshe as an example when he was talking about Moshe doing all the work, and he was doing it all himself and he was exhausted. And I remember when he was given this example in the sermon, and he looked out at the audience and he looked around when he said it, and he said, "No, Moshe, it's not done that way. No, no." He needed help in order to get the jobs done. And, you know, our pastor needs help in order to get this work done too. And again, yes, you know, paying tithes and offerings, that is definitely a great part of the work, and it's how we help. But we also have an opportunity to do even more than just that, to be a go-getter, to seek that highest position that we possibly can in Yahweh's great kingdom. And of course, being a go-getter now under the direction of Abel, right? We always have to seek that approval and get that guidance from Abel. We never want to go off on our own and think that, you know, we're doing Yahweh's work, but we're really leaning upon our own understanding and doing things the way we think should be done. But we always want to ask Abel to make sure that we're doing the right thing to do and that we're getting that guidance. So, for example, has Yahweh blessed you with a specific talent? You know, maybe you use that talent in your job or in your business to make a living. Well, could that talent be used to push forth the work of Yahweh? And if the answer is yes, then, you know, maybe write down what talent that you have and your ideas for how you can use that talent and submit it to Abel and, you know, see where that can go. Okay, so maybe you don't have a specific talent, but you have some ideas. Okay, so that's great. Write those ideas down, submit those ideas to Abel, and, you know, see if you can find work with your ideas. Maybe you're at home, you've got some extra time, you know, you've got the internet, you're willing, you're ready to do this work. Okay, write your information down, send it into Abel, because there's so many different areas of the work that, you know, can use your help, whether it be research, looking things up, you know, finding things. There's many different areas that we need help in. We have an opportunity now, like we have never had before, to help Pastor push forward the work of Yahweh. And I really encourage you to find your place in this work, so that we can be proven for the great kingdom of Yahweh and these great positions that Yahweh has to offer for us. And so with that, may Yahweh truly bless your understanding, and I now turn it back to Abel.
Shabbat shalom, you may be seated. Shabbat shalom, everyone. I'm your next speaker. Boring Sabbath, right? No, I think not. It's a great honor to speak before the called out ones of the house of Yahweh, the saints of Yahweh. Can I please have slide number one? Thank you. The title of my speech today, as you can see, is A Call for All Teachers of Righteousness. When I say all, I mean all. Underlined, all italics, all. Remember that three-letter word, all. I would like to begin by asking you, do you remember Great Overseer's dream concerning a 24-hour school? Yes, we remember that. To refresh your memory, I am going to read from the OKI 24-hour manual for all children. And knowing me, I renamed it. And adults. Because we can all learn from this book. It is not just for little children alone. Reading from page number 3, My Dream, Overseer says, it seems like for 100 years now, I've had this dream where our sons and daughters could experience what the prophet Yael once had, a 24-hour program where the children were constantly trained from the time they rose up to the time they went to bed, even throughout the night. That was his dream. He wanted that. Continue on. Great men and women came out of this program, the 24-hour OKI school. Some examples are Samuel. Samuel was turned over by his mother to the priest at a very young age, where he was trained by them. And Yahweh was able to make this connection with him for a very great work he had to do. Moving further on down, it says, instead, it will draw them to recognize Yahweh as their father. Yes, when we teach this program 24 hours a day, you will see that our sons and daughter will recognize Yahweh as our father. And his laws is a dear friend, not a burden, but a dear friend. And it will bring to pass what the prophet Yael prophesies about. Let us all be faithful in doing a part in fulfilling the wonderful prophecy involving us and our sons and our daughters in these last days. Beautiful dream. Okay, we have been hearing about the word teach and teach, become teachers, but what does the word teach mean? Can I please have slide number 2? Yes, to teach means to show or help, to learn or guide, to develop a skill or trait, to attempt to cause someone to understand or accept, to instruct, to give lessons. That is what Pastor Israel Hawkins has done for us and what we must go forward and do now. We must teach, teach, teach. In Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, and you will teach them diligently to your children and talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you rise up. If we carefully examine this scripture, we can see we are to teach our children 24 hours a day. Not only on Sabbath, not only when you go to classes, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We must practice these laws, we must teach these laws, we must live these laws. There's no better joy than teaching and preaching the laws of Yahweh, especially to a child. We as parents give them what they need to survive, their physical needs, food, clothing, and shelter. But we must also give them the spiritual foundation that they need to survive, which is the laws of Yahweh. We must give them the strong foundation so that as they grow in the strong foundation, they will choose freely of their own free will to follow this way of life, not depart from it. A wise person told me once, when you have training, you're teaching them, you must, one way to get them to love the scripture is in the morning when they rise up, You teach them one scripture. Then in the afternoon before they go to bed, you teach them another scripture. That is the advice I was given. And if you try that, it will work. Their desire will grow as they grow. And also the second thing they said, do not expose them to television. Right? The television makes them think they're in a world, a make-believe world. The Apostle Cheryl wrote that, you then who teach others, do you not learn yourself? So when you teach, you learn at the same time. This work was started by two men. Does anyone know who the two men are? What? I know, Vasya taught you better than that. Right. Yisrael and Jacob. The work was started by these two witnesses. The prophet Daniel said in chapter 12, verse 7, he said, a man clothed in linen who on that future date is teaching. So that is the job of Pastor Israel Hawkins, to teach us the ways to eternal life. No longer are we a mustard seed, but growing and growing into a tree, a mighty strong tree. Okay. Can I please have slide number 3? We're going to do the math now. Okay. The prophecy says that it takes 2 billion people becoming to this great work. 2 billion looks like a number 2 and 9 zeros behind it. So, click it again, please. Right. So now, during Tabernacles 2013, there were 777 people in the sanctuary. So if each and everyone become a teacher, for the 2 billion that's coming, each person in the house of Yahweh will have 2,574,000 students to teach. Can one person do that job? No, you have to see how big this work will grow, how it will expand and grow. No longer a mustard seed. So that is the 3-letter word. All. We need all of us to become teachers of righteousness to bring this work forward. Okay? In the work of Yahweh, if you're interested in a certain department, anything like that, believe it or not, we have a department for that. Whatever your heart desire. This is my goal basket. And can I have slide number 3? Number 4? Sorry. Right. No. Right. We have a department for that. All right. You're interested in telephones. We all like to speak. We have a department for that. We're interested in cooking. Yes, we have a department for that. If you're interested in sewing, we have a department for that. Get involved. If you like computers, it can be used for righteousness. We have a department for that. Get involved. Lastly, only in the house of Yahweh, we even have a department for cloud watchers. It's a job in the work of Yahweh. We have a department for that. Photography, we have it all. You do not need to look outside the work of Yahweh. Get involved, become a teacher of righteousness. We need all of us to do this job. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the next teacher.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Is everybody having a great morning? I have learned so much this morning. I'd like to thank all the teachers before me for all the information that you've given. It is absolutely amazing that a young child can stand up and teach the adults something that they didn't know. And I had like 6 of them teach me this morning, something that I wasn't quite sure of, but they helped me to set my mind on on the right path in unity with the house of Yahweh. And that's what we want to make sure that we're doing. We want to make sure, as the judge told us before, there's so many different departments in the house of Yahweh that needs help. And as long as we work in unity, as long as we ask at Abel, then we are going to be blessed by Yahweh in whatever work or whatever effort we put forth. And I want to focus on the people. It's great to speak to all of you here in the sanctuary. I love seeing all of your faces and everybody that I see here in Abilene. But there are a lot of people that come from that come for the feast. And I know when I was not here in Abilene, I always wanted to know, what can I do? What can I do out in Pennsylvania that's going to help the work? And Yahweh answered those prayers by giving us the internet. That is our biggest help in any kind of furthering the work. And so what I would like to do is I'd like to give you some pointers on doing some of this research that the overseer is needing. I mean, we need research not only for prophecy. We also need research for the different types of healing that Yahweh has provided to us from the healing of the trees. You know, we only have so many trees in Abel, but there's Amazon forests. There's forests all around the world. There's plants all over the world that the scientists are finding now. And they're actually proving Yahweh's laws, Yahweh's healing properties, the scientists are showing the people how these plants and how these different elements can heal the people of the diseases by following Yahweh's laws. And Abel needs to have that information. So no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you live, there are local plants, there are local businesses that we may not know of, but you know, because they're in your local community. There are local community events. It's like, did everybody enjoy watching the missionary videos, the ones they went to Mexico and they went to Argentina? Now, the only reason why they knew about what was going on in Mexico and Argentina is because they got the information that they were able to send the missionary team there. Now, in your local towns and your local communities, there's all kinds of events that are coming up. There's all kinds of teaching seminars that are coming up for the schools. There's all kinds of webinars that are being advertised in your local communities that the House of Yahweh and the Peaceful Solution would be able to help benefit those events that are taking place. Because the school violence, I know that the schools, local schools, have actual training seminars for their teachers on how to deal with the bullying in the schools. If we knew of what was taking place in your local school district, we could help send a missionary team to your local school, your local community, and they can introduce the Peaceful Solution to the leaders of your communities. Please help us in this area. The other area that I have a great interest in is research on the internet. I'm always looking for information from what the overseer brings out in his sermons. And some of the headlines that I have right now is they're actually saying, "Fear lifestyles are blamed for rising STD cases." So where are these reporters getting this information? They're listening to the overseer and they're studying out these statistics, and they are saying, yes, this person is telling the truth because freer lifestyles are blamed on STDs. That is an actual title of an article from nation.lk. The sinister link between infectious agents, bacteria, and protozoa. Again, the lifestyles of our time period are causing these diseases. This next one, U.S. study shows La Nina weather pattern may lead to flu epidemics or flu pandemics. Again, what the overseer has been bringing out about the microorganisms being in the atmosphere and traveling around the globe and spreading these pandemics. These scientists are listening to him. They're taking what he's saying and they're using it in their studies. Again, they're backing up what Yahweh is bringing out in these last days. But we need to have the information so that we can continue to help the overseer bring forth Yahweh's plan. Yahweh, in these last days with the internet and with the internet information that's there, he has allowed these books to be opened. Now, for parents and children, I would advise children be guided with their parents as they're doing this research, because, again, the internet is an open book. So you really have to be careful. You really have to censor the information that you see. Again, if your children are interested in doing this, I would recommend that you guide them so that you can censor the information that's bringing forth in front of their faces. But there's always the libraries in your local communities. The libraries are a great source of information. There's all kinds of books in the libraries. There's all kinds of newspapers. There's all kinds of magazines. Use the sermons that the overseer is bringing out. The overseer gives us homework every time he gets up and speaks, and he says, well, this is going on, the prophecy that he brings out about the Middle East, or he brings out about the microbes in the atmosphere. He brings out about the new diseases, or he brings out information on ways that Yahweh is showing his people how to heal our bodies. Write these things down. And go to your local library and check out the magazines and the newspapers that are there. In the front of every Prophetic Word magazine, they have the telephone number, the address, and the email link, so that if you do have this information, you can either mail it in, you can call the information in, or you can send us an email. For those of you who have text messaging on your phone, you can even send a text message to somebody that can actually get onto the internet and get that information. You don't have to be an able, just you don't have to live an able only to put forth this information that's being brought out to us. You can get the information just by reading a magazine, turning on your news, or turning on your internet. And send the information in, because every single article that you send in or every single piece of information that you find that backs up the overseer and backs up Yahweh is one little step that we're going to push this information even faster. And I thank you again for allowing me this opportunity to speak, and I'm going to turn this over to our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh continue with each and every one of you. It's truly a privilege and an honor to be speaking before the called out ones of Yahweh. The title today is Yahweh Does Great Things and Allows Mankind to Take the Credit. May I please have slide number one? Yahweh called each and every one of us out of this world. Now, we were pretty rough when we came to the house of Yahweh. We were full of unclean foods. Maybe we had eaten a bunch of blood and other unclean things. We were pretty rebellious. And we had a lot of diseases, a lot of confusion in the mind. And our children were pretty rough too, as you can see in the picture there. But I know that Yahweh does great things. And I want you to focus very carefully, because there are still parents that need to hear this message. And there are still children that need to know that they are loved. Yahweh shook his house, and he shook off all the dead limbs. And then the house of Yahweh started to grow. And those who stayed became like bulldogs. They were strong. May I please have slide number two? Yahweh cleaned them up. The limbs on that tree were so strong that you could climb up in them and get on their shoulders, and you couldn't even weigh them down or break them off. And sisters, the ones that stay here after this, you're going to stand strong too, if you will do what Yahweh says. And Yahweh will be well pleased with you, as he is with his son Yahshua and Yisrael. And it's going to be written in the book of life, "These are my children, in whom I'm well pleased." This is a quote from our overseer in 1991. It's as true today as it was back then. So parents, teachers, guardians, everything that I have to say, others have said before me. But I want to reiterate, this whole village, all of us, are teachers in action. Everything we do, everything we say has an effect on what our children become. And I want to plead with every one of you, make Yahweh real to our children. They covered it before us. Make them hungry for Yahweh.
Make every word and action have Yahweh in it. And let them see your faith and your trust and your belief in Yahweh, because Yahweh is ever ready to help guide us and lead us, inspire us in how we can train our children. Yes, Yahweh does great things in his house, and he does give mankind the credit. He's established the house of Yahweh through the One Sent. He's given us this awesome training program that we're all going through at this time. But if you refuse it, any portion of it, it can have an effect on you and it can have an effect on your children. May I please have slide number 3? Last Sabbath, we saw a perfect example of righteousness. When that little 8-year-old, the great future priestess Ephraim, came up and spoke to us, he was a strict teacher of righteousness. He did a fine job. You could tell he spoke from the heart. He knew his material. Everything that we've heard said, his parents worked with him together. This is how we build strict teachers of righteousness. And our children are prophesying, and they are strong like bulldogs. So I have a little quiz for you. You've had a lot of information given to you. When I show a scenario that shows strict teacher of righteousness, I want you to shout out, yes. And when the scenario doesn't look like something we want our children to learn, I want you to shout out, no. Everybody got it? Let's go. Mommy wakes up cranky in the morning like a cranky old hen. I've got one of those. She speaks sarcasm, making life miserable for everyone around her.
No.
Great. Mommy wakes up with Yahweh on her mind. I didn't talk to them. And she acknowledges her family. She greets her family warmly, showing respect to all. Nice, you're doing great. Okay, Grandma lets her grandchildren have free reign when they come to her house. Yay, what fun! She has a television, cool games on her cell phone, lots and lots of toys, and those movies over in the corner, they've seen them 100 times.
Yeah.
No, okay, you're doing great. Now, this grandma's very diligent and plans out in advance what her grandchildren will do, making sure that they go from one constructive, righteous activity to another that will bring benefit and keep the children's awareness on Yahweh.
Yes.
If you have any questions about some ideas on this, feel free to see me after services. Susie Q is ready to go, but Mother stops her at the door, carefully scrutinizes her outfit. Mom says, young lady, you are not leaving this house dressed like that. Please go back to your room and change your clothes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, great. You're doing wonderful. After services, the family goes home and has a great party, complaining about what was said, and I just know that speaker was talking about me.
No.
Oh, I thought I had you on that one. Okay, after services, the family enjoys a lively conversation and all the exciting teaching. They speak about the laws while in enjoying a fine meal. They continue to rejoice on the Sabbath day, honoring their Heavenly Father, Yahweh.
Yes.
All right, let's try another one. Susie Q, we're picking on her a little bit today. Susie Q is allowed access to social media and surfing on the net, and she's also an expert at playing video games. Okay, last one. Mom, the whole village of Yahweh, encourage and help our children to make right choices and are aware and concerned about all their activities. They're dedicated to help children grow up in Yahweh, and the work of Yahweh is always on their mind.
Yeah.
Excellent. Way to go. Give yourselves a clap. May I please have slide number 4? Yes, there are great things being done in the great house of Yahweh, because Yisrael Hawkins is showing his house how to be full, strong bulldogs who work like donkeys, willingly carrying the load in unity with the One Sent, a bunch of Yisrael and Yisraelettes. So please, stay focused. Make Yahweh real to your children. Be strict teachers of righteousness. Then we will teach transgressors our ways, and sinners will be converted to Yahweh. If you all please stand, it's a privilege to speak.
I'll turn it over to our next speaker.
Shalom. You may be seated. I have the honor today to speak to you because of some wonderful things that Yahweh has done and has allowed me to be a part of. And there's two things I want to focus on. And the first one is the Hebrew salt letters, I call them. I know Pastor gave a sermon just a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about it. And I just kind of wanted to tell you how it occurred, exactly what did occur. Because if you all remember the second Roman month, the third day, it was freezing. I mean freezing, and everything was iced over. And as I was going to the cafeteria that morning, I was thinking about an elderly lady that I was going to pick up. And I can call her elderly because she's older than me. But anyway, I was going to pick her up, and I was worried about how she was going to get to the car and not slide on that ice. So I went and opened everything up, and as I was getting ready to leave, it's like come to my mind, you know, like Yahweh popped it in my mind, well, get some salt, you know. So I got a bucket of salt, and I went to pick her up. And when I got out of the car, I had the bucket, and I just started throwing the salt everywhere because I was really worried that she would slide. So I threw a lot of salt. And so I got to the door, and we came back to the car, and we went on to the cafeteria, and everything was fine. And a little bit later, a Kohana came from the GS, and she was telling me about these letters. She said, "You can't. I don't know what the woman did. You know, these letters are there, and they're Hebrew letters, and they're salt." And I said, "Well, I just threw salt, you know." So I went over and looked at them, and I just was amazed at how Yahweh can do things. Could you show slide number one, please? This is what Yahweh did. Can't you just picture those microorganisms after we left and got in the car? They gathered up that salt and made those letters. This was a miracle. If you could show slide number two and three and four. Now, you notice on this one how it just occurs that those letters are pointing right at the garage door that our overseer drives into once in a while. It's almost like the microorganisms followed him in there. But if you look, you see no footprints. And can't you just picture it, how Yahweh is performing these things, not to convince us that he's Yahweh, because if we're sitting here, we know he's Yahweh, right? And as Pastor said, when he talked about the letters, Yahweh's giving us messages for these end days. He's telling us, get it together. You better be knowing what you are here for. You better be knowing what it's all about and be ready for them to cut your throat if it means that you won't be in the kingdom. Because what is more important than being in the kingdom? There's not our life now to go back into that filthy world. No. This is our hope. This is everything right here. And praise Yahweh. And sisters, he's telling us, study. Get the foundation so that when they, if they do, hold a knife to your throat, that you will not back down. You will stand firm. So this is one message he has sent us. Now there's another. And I have to tell you, well, I wanted to show you two. The slide five and six. These are that's the second day. The snow's melting. The salt is still there. And the third day, there's a third day. Can you believe it? I mean, it's the most awesome thing. Now, after that, like I said, Yahweh does have a sense of humor. And he's liable to show up anywhere. I mean, just anywhere. And last Sabbath morning, I was on the grill and I'm scrambling eggs. Now, when you scramble the eggs on the grill, you pour the oil out. Then you pour the mixed up eggs out. And you scramble them around. You scoop them up and put them in a tray. And then you take these, like, drywall blades, they look like, and you scrape the grill off. I scrape everything off. So, and then you pour more oil and start scrambling again. Well, not only did Yahweh have me doing that, He had Deaconess Rebecca and Deaconess Leah working on the grill next to me, making the egg wraps. And I'll explain why. So I'm scrambling the eggs, and all of a sudden, Rebecca says, "Look, look on the grill. It says 777. Could you show slide 7, please?" Now, I want you to realize that I scraped the grill. I mean, I don't leave anything on the grill. And if you show slide 8, you can see that where you scrape the stuff into. And so that 777, those eggs there, and I want you to know this morning, I tried to repeat it. You know, I said, I'm going to see if I can make these sevens, scraping this, you can't do it. I even tried to form one, and it didn't work. It does not work. So right after this, Pastor came to get us Sabbath bread, so I took my picture and I showed him. And he said, "Yahweh's everywhere." I said, "Yes, he is." He says, "You know, he's telling us, he's showing us what we need to know." And he said, 777, that means atonement, at one minute. And as the Kohana before, the judge said, that means we need to be in unity. Now, we know that in Ephesians 6:13, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of Yahweh, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day." That's now, sisters, that evil day. "And having overcome all, to stand." And sisters, that's what we have to do. We have to have our armor on. We have to be ready. We have to study to show ourselves approved. And we have to be very careful what we do. Now, pastors, it didn't show on this picture, but on the camera, it looks like pastor's face is in the grill, like his shadow. And I said, well, he's looking at the 777, or he's making sure I'm scrambling the eggs right. I don't know, because you know he likes everything done right. But you know, Yahweh says, lift up your, in Luke 21, lift up your heads. You know, he's telling us to look up, our redemption draws near. Well, now we got to look down too, because you never know where he's going to be. And I just wanted to share one little thing with you, if you promise not to tell Pastor. Okay. When he came to get his bread, he was late. But we gave him his bread, okay? And he wasn't out of breath because he was sitting behind the steering wheel. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
You may be seated. Shalom to all of you. Are you all joyful to be in Yahweh's house? Praise Yahweh. It is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And the more we see the times, we are going to understand how blessed we are to be part of Yahweh's house. Now, I would like to take a few moments. Time is very short, I can see. But I'd like to talk about genes and how defilement cause of the genes causes sickness, death, diseases. Now, if you look on the slide on the screen, you're looking at our genes, and they are grouped in these little sticks. First of all, they are found in the nucleus, and they are grouped in these little bodies called chromosomes. And as you can see, if you count from one, from the starting at the top left to the bottom, you'll get 46 total. Each person sitting before us here, all of us, we have 46 chromosomes. On these chromosomes, we have tons of genes. And all these genes, they function to make us who we are. The way we walk, our height, everything. Now, each pair of genes, we get one from our father and one from our mother. And that is how Yahweh intends for mankind to reproduce and to replenish the earth. If someone has, for example, if somebody has an unrighteous gene, it will be conveyed and transferred down as you have your children. If you look at any one of these chromosomes, they're lined up like that, so you can see that each one has two. And the genes on each of them, they're right beside each other. They complement each other. So you'll find, like, for example, chromosome 1 here. You have the fathers and the mothers. You don't know which one is which right now. But they both have the gene for height, per se, at the same place on each chromosome. So that they will complement each other, and you'll get, well, maybe if a father is short and the mother is tall or vice versa, then you might have a child coming out with a medium height because they work to complement each other. Now, whenever you have unrighteousness, it comes in your genes. And that is why Pastor always says, Yahweh protected the breeding program of Yeshua. He made sure that no one with an unrighteous gene could get into this genetic program, because it would come down and Yeshua would not have been our perfect sacrifice and the plan of salvation would have been affected. Now, if you'll change the slide too, please, we will see, or we are going to look at a few slides of how sin, because of sin, what occurs into the human being. Remember, we said at reproduction, you have 23 chromosomes being contributed by the father. That's one of each kind. 23 chromosomes contributed from the mother, and that makes 46. Now, on your first slide, if you can see clearly, if you look at number 21, you see that that child ends up with 3 chromosomes. If you look in the bottom picture, it might be clearer. You'll see one is colored. Somewhere along the line, because of sin, this child ended up with 3 chromosome 21. If I have the next slide, please. That is one representation of a child with what is called Down syndrome. Now, the child looks okay compared to others, but usually they have many mental and physical problems, all because of sin. Our next slide, please, shows, if you looked at chromosome 18, you'll find that there are 3 instead of 2. And if you look at the little child below, you can see nobody really would want to have a child looking like this. But again, we don't know who contributed that extra chromosome, but we do know that it came from one of the parents. And all, again, because of sin. Looking at the next slide, this is a little girl, and she has 3 X chromosomes instead of 2. Yahweh intended for her to get 1 from her mother, 1 from her father. Well, the father only has 1, the mother has 2. So in this case, it's almost safe to say that the child got the extra 1 from the mother. All because of sin. Something is going on inside that woman's body that is causing these things to occur. And this is what the enemy wants. This is how she wants to break down the plan of Yahweh so that all people, you know, she finds different ways to get into mankind to break us down and destroy us. Our next slide, please. That shows the child. If you look at the chromosome 13, the child has 3. May I have the next picture, please? You see those pictures? Those are pictures of children with trisomy 13, 3 chromosomes instead of 2. The results of sin. Sisters, the only way we can stop the defilement and these kinds of diseases is to stop sinning. We must stop sinning. We need to put away everything that is unrighteous, because we are going to give it to our children, and with what is going on, you can see that there is no way that we can continue in sin and have righteous children. All, the genes will come down and they will always contaminate and destroy. I ask you all to let us be diligent and determined to get sin out of our lives. That's what Yahweh calls us here for. He wants us to become children of righteousness so we can go out and teach the nations that are coming. They are coming with all kinds of problems. These are just a few of what we are going to see and what we'll need to be working with. But praise Yahweh, he promises that he will give Pastor the wisdom to give us so we can go out and help these ones who are coming with all these problems that they will have because of the defilement and because of sin. In closing, I'd like to leave you with the scripture, Romans 6, verses 12 and 13. It says, therefore, do not allow sin to rule in your mortal body. Verse 13 says, and do not offer the members of your body to sin, but present yourselves to Yahweh as those who have returned from death to life, and offer your body to him as instruments of righteousness. May Yahweh bless your understanding, and with that, I turn it over to Hedger Spanani.
You may be seated. Oh, I have to say, what wonderful words of life we've been getting this morning. I sat at my seat, and I don't think I can read because my eyes are taken. I want to share with you, I'm glad you're still here. I want to share with you last Sabbath. Last Sabbath, I heard one of the teachers speaking, and the teacher said, the newest galaxy, Abel. And I looked around, and I said to the persons around me, did he say Abel? Everybody I passed, I said, is he saying Abel? He said, and he kept reading, and I thought maybe the speaker had, you know how sometimes we have a slip of the tongue and he wanted to say something else. But no, he kept reading and he kept saying Abel. So I could not believe my ears. I said, I have to find a way to remember this Abel newest galaxy. So somewhere I have a chart. Can you see it? Yes. So I said, I have to find a way, a mental exercise to give myself to remember, because I don't want to ever forget. I heard this with my own ears. The newest galaxy. So I said, oh, the Abel is spelled with two L's. We can work with that. Maybe it's not the first Abel like Adam and Eve. It's Abel, the second Abel. That's our Abel. May I have my first slide, please? Aha! So here's our man Abel and the newest galaxy. So let's go back to the chart. Let's see the chart, please. The mental exercise for me to share with you. So it's the two Abels, it's the second Abel. Then I looked at the number. I said 2744-Y1. Is that true? Am I saying it correctly? Aha, I memorized it. I could not believe that. I said, you see the two right there? It's a funny looking two. The children said, that's not a two. I said, yes, that's a two. It's the two. This Abel is a part of the two. He's one, sorry, of the two witnesses. Two. You see the seven? He is two, the two last works of Yahweh's seventh lampstand. That's my seven right there. And the 44, do you see the 44? Somebody said to me, aha, they are at the 44. And you see the dash? The dash right there is to emphasize who they are. And you see the Y? That's for Yisrael Hawkins. Is that correct? And you see the one? Who's that? Anybody tell me what the one stands for? 1 cent. that, to me, was that mental exercise I gave myself because I could not, I did not want to forget the Abel 2744-Y1. Praise Yahweh. Now, what I want to cover with us today is a little bit on the love, because as I listened to the other speakers and teachers, we want to instill in us that great love for Yahweh's work. And as we heard the special message this morning, that great love that even Yahweh himself has for us, because one of the speakers said, we were truly picked by great Father Yahweh. Because he has that love for us. And love is not what we see in the world. True love, love, true love, as we learn from Father's great house, is to teach us the right thing. Not to make us give us a fake love, to make us think that what the world is doing is correct and is love. No, true love comes from Yahweh's house, the 613 perfect laws that he's teaching us, that he's allowing the great overseer, the greatest teacher in the world today, to teach us. Now, if you turn with me, we'll go ahead and read our scripture with me, please, in Romans. As I said, my eyes with the joy of today's classes. Romans 8. Oh, and before we read the scripture, on the Abel 2744-Y1, they said that this is how it looked from the time of the Big Bang. Children, we said the Big Bang has nothing to do in Yahweh's creation. It's a false concept. Children, can we put, and they're trying to tell us that this is where this lovely planet, or galaxy, sorry, came from the Big Bang. Is that true, children? Who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that are in them? Great Father Yahweh only. So can we put an X on the Big Bang theory? May I have that slide, please? May I have the slide, please, of the Big Bang? Very nice. So whenever you see or you come across the Big Bang, know that it does not exist in Yahweh's great plan, okay? Very nice. The only big bang that is going to exist is that big nuclear blast, as we have learned. Can we see that, please, on the slide? End of the Big Bang, yes. Sometimes I like to say the Masons make a mistake. You know how they like to do their things wrong, you know, back to front. And when they thought of Big Bang, they thought it was the creation. But no, this right there was the only Big Bang that we are going to experience. They are because of our sins. Okay, so let us read with me quickly to close. Romans 8. And let's read with me 35. So we can focus, keep our minds and our hearts in tune with Yahweh's great, the love that Yahweh has for us and his great work and the love that we ourselves must muster. And sisters, it is truly for us, our benefit. How will we develop character if no one ever stepped on your toe? How would you develop to be merciful? How would you determine to be strong within yourself if there's never a trial in your way? If all the questions are answered for you, how would you be able to be humble to ask? All of these things that are occurring to us in the Yahweh's great house is for our benefit, for us to develop that character. And I like to ask the greatest teacher in the world, we like to ask him, tell us why you love Yahweh so much. And he says, oh, Yahweh is a being who is determined to see his perfect plan come through. and sisters, I want to admonish on us today, we need to develop that kind of determination, like Yahweh. Determine, set your feet down on the ground to stay in Father's great work and do the work that we have been blessed to do, okay? So let's read with me then. It says, what will separate us from the love of Messiah? What are you going to let take you or deter you from the love that Father has for you? Will tribulation, something that's grieving you, you hurt inside, it causes you to worry? Will you allow that to take you from Yahweh's great work? Famine, distress, persecution, that as we learned last Sabbath, it opens doors. Nakedness, danger, sword. And the greatest teacher in the world said to us, even if they have the sword, the gun, the knife, the nuclear blast at our necks, be ready to say, Yahweh, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's keep 36 and go to 37, please. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We have developed the determination in Yahweh's great house. We are choosing to stay in the great work and to serve Yisrael Hawkins, the greatest teacher, through Yahshua and our great Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Let's go on to 38. For I am convinced that neither the death, nor life, nor Malachim, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 39. Nor height, nor death, nor any other doing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in Yahshua Messiah, our King. Praise Yahweh. So sisters, stay firm and keep grounded in the great work of Yahweh. And remember, as we heard about the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, it's not just P-E-A-C-E, peace, it's rather that peace that gives us that peace within ourselves, and peace to everybody around us, the environment, the trees, the animals, complete peace that we are going to take to the entire universe. And with that, could we have a lovely song about going to the universe to teach them to praise Yahweh.
Give a couple of closing remarks. I wanted to remind you that Yahweh is building a house. Yahweh is building a house through us in these last days. A house that will sin no more. And that's going to be the theme for our feast coming up. So we can get ready for that. Sin no more, okay? So we have to let no man deceive us. He or she who practices righteousness is righteous. Right, so that's what we've got to do in this time period. Yahweh's building his house is building teachers. And the teachers should be building the students, and the parents should be building their children. Wives, the men are going to like this. Build your husbands! Husbands, they can build their wives, right? We like that one too. But we all build one another up so that we can come to unity. 1 Timothy 1, 7 and 8 to close. Who long to be teachers of the law, but they do not understand what they say, nor the things which they strongly assert. But we, the house of Yahweh, the house that Yahweh's building, we know indeed that the law is perfect, right? If, circle that word if. It's a little tiny word, but it has a big bang of a meaning. If one agrees with the law, taking it to himself or herself to use, just like the peaceful solution, if you refuse it, it's not going to work. Just like the laws of Yahweh, if we refuse it, it's not going to work in our lives, and we will not become those great teachers. We exhort you all to come to the classes, to learn these laws, to live these laws, to be the greatest disciples of our greatest teacher in these last days, our Israel Abel Hawkins. Praise Yahweh. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priests in the house of Yahweh to close in prayer.